There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Ba-da-da-ba-da.
Halala Show Season 4, mix number
15.
15. Welcome to the Halala Show, everybody. Welcome back. Happy New Week.
Hello. Happy New Week, everybody. I hope that this hump day will be a good day for you. You know what? I have been on the lucky girl syndrome train recently. Mm-hmm. Like, I believe in that shit 100%. And I don't care if people think that it's delusional or whatever, but I feel like you can't lose anything if you just have affirmations to yourself that I am a lucky girl. Everything comes my way. I am in the right place at the right time all the time. And I'd be like, it won't hurt if you believe
it
that.
Won't hurt.
So yeah. So if you do believe that, you are in the right place at the right time in this moment, and listening to the Halala Show.
Yeah, you made your way here. So yes, was it lucky girl? I was gonna say yes, girl. Lucky girl syndrome has brought you here to the Halala
yes.
Show. Tell them about the show. If there is a lucky girl out there who's listening for the first time, Rika G will tell you all about what we do here.
Yes, well, hello there. That's JC, and I'm Rika, and we host the How to Show, where we talk about anything, but we do have some structure. We start with our Where You Been, where we talk about what we watched throughout the week, what we did, where we went. And then after that, we have our TTs. What are our TTs?
Yes, our TTs. Our trending topics for today, we're going to talk a few things. The first thing we're going to talk about is singer Michael Pangilinan. He had a show at DLSU Dasmariñas, and then a Twitter user / I believe student posted something kind of like a complaint about Michael Pangilinan and his stage demeanor. I guess part of his act was mm-hmm. to invite a lady on stage, but the way he did it and the things that were said rubbed people the wrong way. So we'll talk about that. We're also going to talk about a TikTok video that went viral, and then was also featured. The girl who posted the TikTok video was featured on GMA News and other news outlets, sharing her experience about going through immigration in the Philippines before her flight to Israel, and some of the demands that were made of her, or some of the requests that were made by the immigration officer in question, trying to verify who she was, what she was doing, and she ended up missing her flight. It's a pretty crazy request that I've never heard of before. Yeah, so we'll talk about that.
And then the last thing. Pissed.
Yeah, I know, for real. And then our final TT of the day, we are talking about the Oscars. And, you know, a lot happened. If you've been following online, I'm sure you already know the big winner, Everything Everywhere All at Once. But we'll talk about little other things that happened on the side as well, including an interview on the red carpet with who was the lady who interviewed Hugh Grant?
Ashley Graham and Hugh Grant. They had a red carpet, you know, chit-chat, basically chit-chat. And then it became a little bit awkward.
You have to watch that video, but we'll discuss that. And then we have some random Reddit, because Rika and I were discussing behind the scenes the Malaysian Airline flight. On Netflix, there's a documentary now, a three-part series, going over the disappearance of Malaysian Airlines flight MH370. Mm-hmm. So we looked online because Rika and I love a good conspiracy theory, and we're looking over.
We found a couple of theories. Basically, we did. One involves very much like a Fast and Furious movie. Uh-huh. So we're gonna talk about that.
Some Vin Diesel in there.
No, but after that, we do have Lecce fan mail. Yay!
Yes, we have another Lecce fan mail. Thank you to all the Lecce fans that always email us. You can do that at thehalalashow@gmail.com. But without further ado, let's start with where you been. And Rika G, I believe you're going first. Where you been, Rika G? Where have you been? What you do?
Okay, so did I tell you about me last week? But I know, I don't think I did. I went karaoke. Did I tell you about that?
You did with
oh,
wait, did you go with your friend? Yeah. The friend with the made up name. What's her name?
Charlotte.
Yes, you went with Charlotte. Mary, one of those. Jessica. No, you don't have a Jessica.
Yes, Jess. Yes. So I went. Oh, you know what? After that, actually, it was a really nice weekend because we went to Bath again. And I must say right now, and I've only been here like 6 months, but I feel like I can safely say that at the top of my list of visit here in the UK would be Bath. I feel like Bath was, it's such a romantic / calming vibes. And I really like it there. Bath.
We talked about Bath before. How do you spell that?
Yeah. Like it's where the Roman baths are.
Where the what are? Roman what?
You know where the Roman baths are.
Oh, the baths, Roman baths.
Yeah. So the place is called Bath. It's like in the south, I want to say southwest of the UK, but it's where Jane Austen wrote a lot of, it's very much Pride and Jane Prejudice. Austen. Yes. So, parang yun yung setting or something. Besides, it's very romantic. This is where the Roman baths are. And if you go on a random weekday, there's not much people and you can enjoy it by yourself and everything is still open. And I feel like it's just a really nice place to visit when it's not raining and when it's not cold, basically. Uh-huh. And there's a couple of restaurants there that we wanted to go to. The first one is, I have it here. The first one, and we went on a Friday afternoon, like after lunch. And we were thinking that maybe, you know what? The line won't be that long. The place is called, Oh no. I lost it.
Nice.
But anyway, I lost the name of the restaurant. But anyway, it's in Bath. And the line was really long. But I'm like, oh man. It's, you know what? Maybe it's for my next time to go back to Bath. Because honestly, it's just a 10-minute train from Bristol from where I am. So
Can you bathe in the bath? Is it like a public bath?
But yeah. No, I don't think so. Because if you look at the Roman baths, they're green.
Oh,
so
gross. No.
It ain't. You know, it ain't cute.
It ain't it.
Yeah.
It ain't
it. I don't know if they have like a section where you can actually bathe in it, but I don't think, I wouldn't want to. Honestly.
It's not like a hot spring, it's not like the onsen in Japan, right? It's not like a public.
Yeah. It's
okay.
No, I think it's warm. I think you can actually see that it's warm. But anyway,
I know in Italy they have something like that, right? Don't they? Like, is it Italy? Like, there's like a public thing where like all the fat naked men get together and they go to like the hot springs and shit.
I think so.
Don't they do that?
I think they do. Like in Rome, basically, yeah.
In Rome.
So we decided to just go to a coffee shop that they have the best view in Bath because it has the view of the bridge where you can see the water and everything. And it does really have a really nice view. So we had coffee there. Sobrang nasa stress ako dun sa bar manager / the barista. Kasi 25 minutes na lang magkaklose na siya, but like a bunch of people wanted to go in and still have coffee, including us.
Okay.
And ako, as a former barista, I could feel the wrath, the rage in me growing. Alam mo, people, guys, 20 minutes na lang and I could clean up, but you guys still want to make more mess. But obviously, she was very nice enough to be like, yeah, come on in. Just to let you know, we're going to be closing in 25 minutes, so you can't really take your sweet, sweet time. Mm-hmm. And we're like, we're fine with that. We just wanted to take photos and everything. So it's in Pulteney Bridge. I think it's Pulteney Bridge Coffee. And then after that, we just went around. Because honestly, just going around Bath, even if you don't eat there, even if you don't do anything there, you will honestly have such a good time. So after that, we went back to Surrey. And then the whole weekend was just really chill. And then And then we went bouldering again. So
nice.
I did not complete. You know what? I did actually got to the top one time that whole session. So we went bouldering on Saturday, and basically, kasi like when you complete a route, when you go up there, when you're at the top, you call it, you send it.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole time you're there, 3 hours, isa lang inasend ko, isa lang.
Hey,
the whole time.
One is good, better than zero.
Like the other times, I was just failing. I was just falling on my ass. And it was just like, this is so frustrating, but still, it was very, very fun. It was very fun.
I watch your videos. You have two videos, right? Up already?
Yes, we have two videos on our YouTube channel. By the way, guys, we are trying to start our YouTube channel that's mainly focused around bouldering. And I kind of just wanted to do that as just to like, what do you call this? What do you call that? Record. There we go. Record our journey. Yeah. So there. What else?
Our climbs on YouTube. Our climbs.
Yes. Letter R. Letter R.
Letter R.
Yes.
Our climbs.
So please subscribe, and we're going to post our next video probably this week. So anyway,
nice. Okay,
Newsday came. So as you know, Newsday is kind of like a graded day for our master's class. And it was extra, extra stressful because kind of like the big wigs of journalism were there to check us out and to check out the professors. Basically, alam mo parang accreditation for your school.
Who are the big wigs of journalism?
Well, it's called the BJTC. So, oh my gosh, ano ba ibig sabihin ng BJTC? I need to know.
British Journalism something.
It's called Broadcast Journalism Training Council. There we go.
Oh, okay, that's close. So I got one of four.
I know. So basically, they're going to check the accreditation of the school, whether we're getting the right education when it comes to journalism, because we get that accreditation when we graduate. Basically, we can say that I graduated from a BJTC accredited course, and campus, that's kind of like a step up.
Yeah.
So basically, they were there, but at the same time, we needed to, you know, we needed to push out stories. We needed to make our radio programs and everything. But the whole day they wanted to talk to us, or like, you know, like we needed to go here and go there. So basically, it was just a very, very, very stressful day. I cannot describe to you why and how it's so stressful. But thankfully, that was our very last one. So we don't have to do that again. Okay. And then the next one was fun. The next day, we had a quote-unquote class with our professor in a coffee shop. We met up with an actual BBC producer. Actual BBC. Like, honestly, it was the coolest thing ever, to the point that after the meeting, I had to ask, can we take a photo? I felt so touristy. As in, nakakahiya. But I wanted to take that opportunity and be like, because when we, kasi yung class na yun, tawag kasi dun, yung mga master class, diba? So we usually invite like producers or like executives and stuff like that for us to talk, so we can talk to them and ask them questions and everything. So usually my professors would let us listen to stuff that they made, and then when we got the chance to talk to them, we can ask them, how you did this, why'd you do that, how'd you talk to this person, blah blah blah. So anyway, all I want to do right now is to recommend this one piece that the producer made. Her name is Becky Ripley. She's the producer of this program. It's called 8.99. It's a drama documentary on BBC. And even if you don't know what a drama documentary is, or if you do not care, it is one of the best things that I have listened to. It's basically about the doping program in athletics, like in running.
Steroids?
Steroids, basically. Yeah. So it's a drama documentary, and please, I cannot recommend it enough. It is one of the best things that I've listened to in a while. And so her name is Becky Ripley, and she's just super cool. We met at a cafe. I don't mean parang rubbing elbows. Ganern. Yeah. So we listened to 8.99. So that's like the fastest time. Parang ganon.
Right. In
athletic. Yeah.
Yes. So 100-meter dash.
100-meter dash. Can you imagine people run 100 meters for 9 freaking sec? Impossible. Yeah.
Hey, yeah, I remember doing my time in high school. It was like 18. Dude. 18 seconds. Dude.
This hindi ko kasi alam kung ano ngayon eh. Ano ba ngayon yung fastest? I think it is 9 or 9.3, parang ganun.
Let me see. Is it Usain Bolt still? World so. Record 100 meters. Let's see. Yeah, 9.58. Usain 9.58. Bolt, 2009.
Yeah, and in this drama documentary, they are trying to achieve like 8.99 seconds.
Oh, shit. That sounds dude, impossible, bro.
Dude, that's a lot. Kahit para, kahit pa ano yan, like millisecond.
Yeah, like even lot. The 0.1 seconds is like people take years to take off 0.1 yeah. seconds off of their yeah. time.
And that's the thing.
8.9, is that even possible, bro?
I don't know, man.
I yeah, don't think that's so,
why,
man.
That's why you have to listen to it. So
okay.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was really cool to meet Becky Ripley. And it was just really nice to cap off, you know, our final news day, finally. If you guys don't know what news days are, for me, it is my stressful day of the week, okay? Basically, we have to go out and get news and interview people and put it out on air and stuff like that. So if you've only listened now to the Halala show, you can disregard that because it was the last day anyway, you know? But the joke lang. But I did have a lot of fun. It was very interesting to, you know, to actually go out and get news. And I learned a lot, honestly. Para kung yeah. ano ah. Para kung binibenta yung course ko. But anyway, yeah, what else?
Do you consider really yourself a podcast producer for the Halala Show?
You know what?
I mean, you could, right? Technically. I could. We produced it.
We do produce this.
Right?
But I do want to... Actually, that is the thing. That's my goal in my career is to actually become a producer.
Dude, I had the same similar kind of revelation last week. I was thinking of concepts for podcasts that I... And not just podcasts, like a video / podcast like that could work as a podcast, video series. That I think, like, you know, like the creativity, you'd be the creative mind behind it. It's such a cool feeling, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. And to actually just like for people to listen to your piece that you created from your mind, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be really cool. But yeah, that's actually like, yun yung parang goal ko ngayon sa career ko is to actually. That's what I want to become. I want to become a person that creates documentaries, specifically audio documentaries and audio pieces in general. So, I think that's it because when I woke up this morning without an alarm, I was so thankful to the Lord Jesus Christ up there. So there, Finn.
All right. Well, mine was pretty uneventful as well. Well, no, not as well. Uneventful as well as last week was kind of uneventful. But I did watch a lot of stuff. Fresh out of my mind, I watched Creed 3. You know, if you haven't seen Creed 1 and 2, it's pretty awesome. Michael B. Jordan and Sylvester Stallone. But in the third one, it's actually directed by Michael B. Jordan. And it stars also Jonathan Majors. If you haven't seen the new Ant-Man, he plays the villain in Ant-Man. He is fantastic in Creed 3, and they are so sexy. I don't know. Have you seen the trailer, Rika G?
No, but... 3?
Have you seen Creed 1 or 2? Michael B.
Jordan. No, I did see 1. I did see the first one.
1 is great, yeah.
Yeah, 1 is great.
And they just look incredible. Like, they're in such amazing shape that it actually got me inspired to hit the gym after. But
no, I think I did watch the second one.
The second one has the best training montage. It's the one where he fights the son of the Russian guy. I don't know if that rings a bell for you.
Oh my god, wait lang ah. I think I did.
Okay.
Pero ba yung parang may girlfriend na siya?
Meron na. He had the girlfriend in the first one. Yeah.
Sila na, the second
one, the second one, they have a baby who's deaf.
Oh, no, I don't think I, yeah.
Oh, spoiler. Spoiler.
Spoiler.
But yeah, Creed 3, although I will say I still think Creed 1 and 2 are better, though some say that Creed 3 is better than Creed 2. I actually really enjoyed Creed 2, but it's still an enjoyable movie. And then I watch a new TV show that I think you would like, because you haven't seen Ted Lasso yet, right, Rika G?
No.
As much as I keep recommending it to you, that I know you're going to love that show. I know you're going to love that show, Rika G.
I watched the first episode.
Especially since you're in the UK, I feel like you'll love it even more now. But there's a show on Apple TV that has a similar vibe. It's not the same. It's not exactly the same, obviously, but it has that same feel goodness to about it. And then the dialogue is really witty and funny. It's called Shrinking. Mm-hmm. It's about a psychologist or what is it? Therapist or psychologist, tama ba? Or psychiatrist. I don't know. I always get them confused. Basta yung the shrinks. What do you call them?
Okay.
Psychologists? Anyway.
And also the difference is one can prescribe you meds and the other one.
Yeah. So basically it stars Jason Segel, who you might know from How I Met Your Mother or Forgetting Sarah Marshall. He plays a shrink who starts, he's like a grieving shrink because he lost his wife in a car accident. And then he's kind of depressed. And then he ends up starting to give his patients advice that is not really typically standard for a psychiatrist. You know how they have to go by the book most of the time? He starts just saying what's on his mind, and he finds out that it's actually helping his patients. And it's a really fun show. It's still ongoing. It's at episode 8 right now, and I don't know when the finale of the season is. I think it might be next week. But it's an easy binge, 30-minute episodes. Has Harrison Ford in it, who's super funny. It's got a great cast, man. Great cast. The dialogue is really good. I highly recommend it. And I know a lot of Legend fans like really listen to what you and I watch, and they end up watching it too. If there's a show that you should start other than Ted Lasso, I think Shrinking is also a very good show to watch right now. So those are the things that I recommend. I watch, because you know the Oscars, which we're going to talk about later on. I watch almost all the Best Picture nominations before they came out, except for I hadn't watched Tar and Banshees of Inisherin. So I ended up watching those. Tar was really good. Kate Blanchett, who is like, she's spectacular in that movie.
Yeah.
Dude, she is really good in that movie. It's a pretty heavy movie, I think. I mean, I feel like it's pretty heavy. It's just a lot of dialogue. But I think I'll talk about my feelings about the winners later on. But she was really good. And then Banshees of Inisherin was a weird movie to me. Like, I was a big fan of Colin Farrell and Brendan Gleeson. Or is it Brendan Gleeson? Anyway, the two leads in Banshees were the two leads in one of my favorite movies ever called In Bruges. So it's directed by the same guy as well. I think Colin Farrell was really good. It's just the story was a little bit weird to me. I feel like if I was Irish, I would enjoy it more because it's set in Ireland. It touches on like the Civil War because it's set in, it's like a period piece. But it had some good moments. The dialogue was also great, but it wasn't for me at the end. At the end, I was like, it was okay. It's a good movie, but I wouldn't watch it again. And that's pretty much my week, dude. I just stayed at home, man. Watched more Netflix. I finally watched Pulp Fiction. Have you ever seen Pulp Fiction?
Yeah.
It's my first time to watch it. Believe it or not. I've never watched Pulp Fiction. It took me a few years to finally watch Reservoir Dogs a few years ago. I watch more of the latter half Tarantino, like Kill Bill onwards. I watch all of those. But I never really watched Reservoir Dogs, Jackie Brown, Pulp Fiction, and whatever. So I started making a mission to watch them. And I finally watched Pulp Fiction because it's on Netflix. And it was okay.
It was fun, right? It was all right. I mean, like,
it was a fun movie.
It's fun, but, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of dialogue. Like, you know, the dialogue is really the key, I think. If you really enjoy witty dialogue, it's cool. But I really did not like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I thought that movie was so boring. Okay. Like, I thought it was so boring. At least this had more, it was more fun, even though it was just as dialogue heavy as Once Upon a Time. But yeah, man, that's it. I went to PT. My leg's getting better. Yeah, Finn, dude. You want a wapow?
Wapow.
All right, let's talk about Michael Pangilinan. Let's talk about the singer Michael Pangilinan. You might know him if you've ever seen ASAP. I don't know. Like, what is he known for? What song is Michael Pangilinan known for?
Oh, gosh.
I'm trying to think. Because he kind of blew up a few years ago.
Hindi ba parang kasama siya sa isang like trio of singers?
Yeah, Michael Pangilinan, si Bugoy, and si Daryl Ong.
Yeah.
I forgot if it's MB.
Ano tawag sa kanila?
MBO? I don't know. It's one. It's the first letters of their name.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it's MBO or OBM. I don't. I don't know.
Alam ko may pang eh. Parang, di ba? Parang ganun.
Ah, o nga, no? Parang ano? Parang pang silaw or something like that. I mean, it sounds like top silog. Pero parang ano, they mix the words together. I don't remember. Wait, because I really like watching their cover. Budakel. Bugoy, Daryl Ong, Michael Pangilinan. That's the one. But I remember like it was like 2014, 2015. That's when he started coming up with music. I don't know how he got famous though. I don't think he won any competition, right? I don't think he ever won any. I mean, I know he was in Your Face Sounds Familiar, but he wasn't.
I want to say that he got famous. I think he got famous on YouTube. Like, what do you call this?
I'm looking right now. He was on X Factor in 2011, but he didn't really blow up until 2014 when he got his first break in showbiz in the Himig Handog P-Pop Love Songs entry. He did the version of Pare Mahal Mo Raw Ako. That's right, I remember that.
At saka guwapo siya, 'di ba?
Yeah, actually. But I think he got more guwapo the more money he had, the more famous he got. You get what I mean? Like I feel like I look more. Hell yeah, dude. With money, everyone looks better with money. Come on.
Everybody will look better.
It's not a knock on him. I'm just saying like realistically, he put that money to work. He put that money to work, as I would do if I had that kind of money. But anyway, let's go back to the TT. So there's a Twitter user from DLSU Dasmariñas who tweeted about Michael Pangilinan, who had a performance at the campus, saying, and I'll just read it verbatim, ang shit ng intro ni Michael Pangilinan sa concert dito sa DLSUD. So before siya kumanta, nagpaakyat muna siya ng audience member. He asked if she's single and all para makagawa tayo ng baby. And so that was like the shtick because the song that he was going to sing was I'll Make Love to You. Kasi I'll Make Love to You pala yung kanta. Then he asked if he could kiss the female student. Di daw ba magagalit yung parents niya and all. Right. He even asked to get the student's number. And then there is a video showing the I don't know if it's an incident, showing the performance, and it's kind of like, I don't know, because we don't really like Chris Brown anymore, but on TikTok I see a bunch of Chris Brown
references,
singing and what do you call it, lap dancing a female participant on stage that came to see his concert. And it kind of has those kind of vibes. But in this case, this is the other side of things where is it wrong for him to do this, especially on a school campus? Is it wrong what he said? Para makagawa tayo ng baby? What are your thoughts on this? Because there's a lot of people that are pressed online about this whole thing.
I think Elaine, who tweeted this on Twitter, kind of described it the best. It's more of cringe. It's more of really cringy because obviously, I mean, obviously he got consent for everything, you know, na parang pwede ba tayo kiss, parang ganyan. It was just all so awkward and cringy to be asking somebody that you met for the very first time, knowing that they're your fan, and be like, can I have your baby? You know what I mean? Na parang, I might be reaching here, this might be to the extreme, but I was just thinking earlier, we were talking about it, right? I was just thinking earlier, parang, I think there's an issue there, na parang, do you think that's all I'm good for, having a baby? You know what I mean? Like,
I can see some people interpreting it that way.
Alam mo yun, na parang, I'm not saying that that's what he meant. It's just that that's just my interpretation of when a guy sees me for the first time and they like me, you know, agad-iisip mo. And I'm like, that's just a little bit awkward and creepy.
I get that. I get that, especially if it's someone that, like, let's say it's an unknown singer who does it. Yeah. It'd be a little bit weird.
I feel like there's this power dynamic. Kasi obviously, he is the artist, siya yung lodi. And then there's this this person who adores them very much, that you kind of have to know where your limits are at that point. Well, na parang we have seen before, diba? Na parang na they kind of like, kumbaga parang you know that these people will do whatever they
desire,
because kasi nga lodi kanila kasi. Mm-hmm. Because they idolize
power,
you.
Power dynamics. Power dynamics.
It, basically, even if they don't want to do it. Alam mo yon.
Yeah. There was Elaine also tweeted a Facebook post in the same thread of some of another, I believe another, not contestant, another audience member who was there, who said that DLSUD has a Safe Space Act, which means all of us are protected from any kind of kabastusan. And then he said, they said, yung joke mo or whatever you spouted on stage was disgusting. And then for context, before he pulled a fan from the crowd tonight, he said something along the lines of, sino dito over 18? Then said, para pwede na makagawa ng baby.
Yeah.
So that's just more context to that. And then there's a video on stage. However, let me just go to the, I'm not saying I agree with what he did or whatever. But if you look at the video, the girl on stage does seem to be enjoying the interaction.
Yeah.
Now, that brings up the question of, like, for example, right? There are a lot of artists where if they maybe not me, because I'm a guy, right? But I'm sure there are no matter what I want to do, I can't. But let's say there are a lot of girls that I know, my friends, who are like, I want to have his babies. I'm sure you've heard that statement before, right? I know some friends, when they talk about, I don't know, Jungkook or Harry Styles or Channing Tatum, I want to have his babies, right? So based on the video that I'm watching, the participant looks like she's one of those fans that in terms of how she feels about Michael Pangilinan, but I don't know. So it brings up the other side of, what if this girl was completely all right with it? In a sense, Elaine and the other Facebook poster are being offended for her and kind of doing her side of things. Is there some wrong in that as well?
Looking at the general... I feel like they're looking at the general side of things. Like, you know, na parang, obviously, si Michael Pangilinan won't only do this in city campuses, in DLSUD. He will be going around, you know, the Philippines and interacting with a lot of other people. Na what if at one point it goes south? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Na parang, isipin talaga ng mga tao, or when you're in that position where people idolize you, that it's okay. Na parang you would think na porket they throw themselves at you, or they say they're laughing at that statement.
Actually, the fact that it was on campus, I think, is what makes it more of a bigger deal. Because if it was at his concert, it means that people really paid to see him and are probably true fans, right? Unless they just got a ticket or something for free.
But would you say that that's okay?
No, I don't think. I mean, the thing is, like, it's all about context for me. Like I was saying, if for example, lang, baliktarin natin. If I went to a concert of someone who I found really attractive, and they brought me on stage, and they said, I don't know if it's a joke that they would make. To me, I guess that's the issue here, right? Because it wouldn't be a joke that works with me. And I don't know if I would be offended if someone made a joke. I don't know. Can I be offended if someone's like, I want to make a baby with you, to me? Like, can I have your baby? Like, I don't know if it would work the same way. So it's probably a different perspective. So I don't know if I can really answer that from my perspective. If I were to be on stage, would it be wrong? I don't know, man. Like, it's weird, because if she was really a fan, it would be an experience for her, like something that she really enjoyed and it would tell her friends about. But overall, he could go a different direction, I think. You know what I mean? Instead of so that you can have a baby, how about like so that I can? Well, because the song is "I'll Make Love to You." Is the joke is like that was the joke, but maybe like so I can have your heart or something. You know what I mean? Something, yeah,
alam
something.
Yung issue naman dun pag ginawa niya yan, ang corny mo!
Ang corny mo, di ba? I don't know. Because I always make this joke with you, right? But if RM, right, or someone was to say that, you know, one of your favorite brought you up and said that, I don't know, in the moment you'd feel it, you'd feel maybe really ecstatic, maybe, I don't know, I don't want to speak on your behalf, but
yeah,
after the fact, would you think about the same things that you're saying right now, like the power dynamics and whatnot? Would you feel that way?
Yeah, but I would not, because I feel like I would be so lucky to actually just be inches away from RM.
Right, right.
But I would understand, or maybe, I don't know, but I would kind of understand why people would find it a little bit creepy.
Yeah, I can see that. Like, even when I see the Chris Brown videos, I kind of get, like, there was that TikTok video. I don't know if it's true because there's no really verification that the guy brought his girlfriend to the Chris Brown show. And then she Chris Brown picked her out of the crowd and she willingly went up and she got the lap dance slash song done for her. And then he broke up with her because of that. I don't know it's really
would
verified.
You stay with somebody?
I mean, I don't know, man. I'm secure enough that if the girl that I'm with goes up on stage and it's like someone that she really enjoy, like, you know, dude, look at Harry Styles, right? I'm never winning against Harry Styles, friend, right? If Harry Styles walks into the room and says, like, wow, like, your girlfriend's amazing, and then my girlfriend that, you know, is like super kilig, what am I gonna do, man? It's Harry Styles, bro. But I'm confident in myself that I'm like, yeah, Harry Styles, sure, take your best shot.
Right.
But you know, I'm me, man. I don't care. I think she'll stay with me. That's just how I am. So
but me, I'm first of all, going to a Chris Brown concert, red flag.
Red flag.
Red flag. Did we forget?
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm just saying, for example, do you think Ryan would be pressed if RM took you on stage and just, like, you know, sang to you? No, didn't do anything, just sang to you and super kilig.
Sang to me?
I think he'd be okay.
It depends.
I think he would
probably
enjoy it. Like, he would be probably happy for you, right?
Wouldn't we he? Don't know, because I don't think I don't it's know. Ever going to happen. RM, come on.
Come on, man.
Come on, man. No, just kidding.
No, but to answer your question, like, would I be upset? I don't think so. Like, it's a once in a lifetime thing. You know, that's just like, remember we were talking last week about how guys fanboy over like basketball players and whatnot. I know it's not the same thing because I'm not trying to, you know, I know that like the girl that I'm with probably wouldn't be like, I'm not going to leave her for LeBron James. You know what I mean? But I think it would maybe be similar that they would enjoy that I'm meeting this person that I look up to and that I like talk about all the time and whatnot. Well, I mean, I don't know, man. Maybe seeing Chris Brown rub his crotch on my girl's face might make me a little irritated. But at the end of the day, I think you know, Chris Brown has a bigger fish to fry.
Definitely, but I feel like we are straying away from the point that a lot of people found what Michael Pangilinan said creepy, maybe not acceptable in that situation. But that's the thing. I mean,
is it cancel worthy?
No, kay yun nga eh, na parang at the end of the day, I'm thankful that nobody got assaulted, you know, or whatever. But obviously, we don't want it to get to that point, you know.
Yeah. So maybe hopefully he changes like the approach to his act. You know, it could still be effective and not as creepy, right? I think that's the final like the word there. All right, shall we wapow then?
Wapow.
Okay, let's talk about the TikTok user that went viral about sharing her story about traveling to Israel. And she was going through Naiya Terminal 1. Her name is Cham Tanteras, Tanteras. You can go look her up on TikTok. You can see, I think it's her pinned video, has like almost 2 million views. So she shared her frustrations about going through the terminal. Because while she was, you know, getting ready to go on her flight, she was sent to the Bureau of Immigration Office for an interview. And she explained that they were asking her, you know, basic questions, right? I mean, what do you get asked? You know, your flight history, why are you going to a certain place? But then it turned later on, the questioning went down a weird path until it got to the point where the immigration officer who was interviewing her asked her if she had her yearbook for proof that she graduated. And she graduated over 10 years ago at this point. And that is pretty crazy. I don't think that ever has happened to me. And I don't think it should ever happen to anybody to be asked for a yearbook, Rikiji. What are your thoughts on that? Just to see that she had a photo.
I mean, it is pretty crazy. It's not like you can just whip out your yearbook, you know, randomly. But
I don't even know where my yearbook is.
I know, same. I didn't even get my high school yearbook. I don't want to go back to that place.
Yeah.
But anyway, here's the thing, though. I was just watching a YouTube video from It's Judy's Life. Anyway, she is a Filipino vlogger in Washington.
State?
Yeah, in the States. Sorry.
Which one? Which Washington? Green state or the
president? Oh, my gosh. I just don't know. Sometimes... I don't know. I don't know where, but in that area. But sometimes they talk about
in America. Yeah, they're in America. You know, Seattle. Oh, Washington State. Okay.
Washington State. So they do live in Seattle.
Okay.
We talked about going back to the Philippines for an emergency flight because sadly her mom died. And she talked about how she was getting an emergency passport because her passport expired, I believe. And they did have to show like high school certificates and, you know, stuff from high school for them to prove that she was born in the States and she's been living in the States for, you know, her whole life. For some time for them to give her a passport. And I think obviously what also helped was her YouTube channel because she has like over a million followers and could see her life there unfold from when she was, you know, like a college girl up until now that she has five babies. But still, they did show them, like they did show the immigration place that, you know, like her graduation photo and certificates and everything, like graduation, like whatever. So maybe it could be.
Yeah, it seems excessive, man. Like you said, she's already in the airport. She has her flight.
Also, it seems not legit. You can just show a graduation photo.
Dude, I mean, that if there's anything that's easy to doctor, you know, it's not easy to doctor a passport or a visa, but it's pretty easy to show a pass, like a yearbook that you bring out. Like, how will they know?
Yeah. Right?
Uh-huh. It actually came how to the point, know, by the exactly. way, in the story that since she didn't have her yearbook, she had to show a photo on her phone. And then the officer in question even said, like, that doesn't look like you. Parang mataba ka sa photo na yan. Is that really you?
Oh my gosh.
Which is another issue in itself. The eventual outcome was that she ended up being interrogated, quote unquote, for so long that she missed her flight, which she paid 19,000 pesos for. And she had to rebook a flight the very next day for 27,000 pesos out of pocket. She was not reimbursed. She wasn't like, you know, they didn't help her get on another flight at the expense of the bureau or whatever, whoever is in charge of that. And the report on the incident, the agency, the Bureau of Immigration Agency said that here's the quote, seeks consideration and understanding as the agency is constrained to implement strict measures to assess departing passengers. And this is because they're trying to avoid human trafficking and, you know, that kind of stuff, which I understand. I mean, it's their job to make sure that people going in and going out of the country are really supposed to be going in and out of the country. But it seems like there is I don't know, like the yearbook photo is already the red flag that you need to show that it's not that, you know?
Yeah.
Because if you have, what do you need? Like, what more could you ask for if you have the paperwork, if you have the visa? Imagine going, because Marissa right now, right? She's going to Europe with her mom and her sister.
Right.
And I cannot, because I'm very privileged that I have a U.S. passport. So going to places is not as difficult for me. But the amount of shit that Philippine passport, because I've seen it with my mom.
Oh, yeah. Right?
My Philippine passport, the fucking shit that you have to bring just to get approved to go to a country that the people in that country can come here. Like I saw, you know, just to go a little off topic, there's a video that went viral of Siargao being like all white people. They can come here so easily.
Exactly.
Bro. They can come here so easily.
It's so crazy.
The fact that Filipinos have to present their diplomas sometimes, that the like
your
you know, their like, their bank statement, credit
bank
card,
statements, everything, what? All of your Why? Businesses. It's they're bullshit. Up in your shit, basically.
They don't want you to fucking succeed, bro. You have to go to an interview. You have to take a photo, like, I mean, I had a photo, obviously, but you have to make sure that the photo, you can't wear earrings and what, like, it's so crazy, man. Like, what is that? What are we doing?
You have to go, like, they have to get your thumbprint, all the prints in your body. They have to know all of your,
I'm sure you went through a lot of that stuff going to the
UK. Dude. Yeah. Like,
I mean, you had to get your transcript. Right,
you have to get everything. You have to get proof that you're a human being.
Dude, I was out of college 10 years ago. You still want me to get my college shit?
Yeah, dude. Like, konti na lang, parang pati baby book mo kukunin nila, pati yung umbilical cord mo, nung baby ka. Ano ba mo?
Tingnan mo, tingnan mo yung umbilical cord. Galing Medical City.
Dude, it's just it's so unbelievable. Man.
Yeah, I totally get your point.
Yeah. Like, I understand really their job, right? I understand that they have a job to do, but they need to fucking be more. I don't know if it's understanding, like, because obviously you don't want bad shit to get through. You don't want people who are not, like, trafficking is a big problem, right? We don't want people who are being trafficked out of the country or into the country for that matter. To be trafficked out of the country. I understand that. But I feel like there has to be some sort of metric, man. Like a different thing.
I think the stopping point was when she was about to miss her flight.
Yeah.
And may, di ba, parang mayroon namang, may mga ways to mitigate that. Na parang, i-reimburse ka po namin. But no, to actually just be like, nah, you don't care.
Nah, you're just good. You're good. It's a big fuck you, man. It's a big middle finger to her and to just a lot of, I mean, if you look at the comment section, you can see people sharing similar stories and just people frustrated with the immigration here. I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, I can't really, because I don't have a Philippine passport, so I haven't really gone through the hell of having to do all that, but I can just, I've seen it with people close to me. And my mom is so frustrated. Like, can I just use my mom as an example? My mom, I think, is a very accomplished woman, right? She has businesses in different countries. She has property here. She has, you know, she has property in different, the United States, for example. She has a house there. But she is so sad when she has to go, like, she was invited to go to, like, Europe for this Filipina. Remember I told you about the group of Filipino women that are just fucking amazing. So she had to go to Europe, but she had to go through all this paperwork. And she kept saying, because my mom's husband, my stepdad, is Japanese, and she wants to really get the Japanese passport. Like, she's always talking about it. Like, she wants. But the thing is, Japan is also in their own way a little bit strict, too, that if you become a Japanese citizen, you have to denounce your Philippine citizenship. You can't have dual citizenship as a Japanese citizen. So that's just her only concern. But she keeps saying, like, I think it's worth it. You know, just so that I can go places without being looked at like I'm some sort of criminal or I'm being trafficked by a criminal. You know what I mean?
Which is so crazy because it's a passport.
I feel for her. And I know that the Philippines is a third world country. And I know that there's a lot of TNT, right? You know, tago ng tago, whatever. I understand that element of it, but hopefully there's a way to progress forward. Is the only way to progress forward for the Philippines to become a first world country? Is that the only way, do you think? Like, what would ease the minds of other countries as well as our own?
I feel like it's a multifaceted thing. Na parang, because I do know a lot of people who don't know where the Philippines is. They don't even know it's an Asian country. They don't know where it is. And they're like, is it a jungle? Is it a, you know what I mean?
Do they just start from the movie Plane with Gerard Butler? That's all they know about.
I feel like you can go at it at different angles. Na parang, diba? Na parang we are such a rich culture. We have so much talent in the Philippines. And it's such a wonderful country. But, you know, when you are, let's say, in the US or you're somewhere in Europe, na parang for them, your country is so obscure. Parang you don't know how to go about it. Papa, no. Like, alam mo yun, like, that's why we're always so proud here, in the Philippines. Right?
Yeah,
exactly. That's why we are so proud whenever we see Filipinos in other countries making waves. You know,
you made it, right? You brought your passport and your yearbook photo. You made it out of here, fam.
Oh gosh, but yeah,
no, but I get it. Like, you it's know, like a sense, I could of, talk it's a about, sense of accomplishment to make it somewhere yeah. else.
We could dedicate like a full on episode about what I'm feeling right now as a Filipino in the country. Right. It is such a different experience. Like, I have so many thoughts. I have so many thoughts. But yeah, that is for a different episode.
True.
But
Yearbook. Bullshit. All right. Well, pal.
That's it.
All right. Let's talk about the Oscars. Rika G, Oscars. The Oscars, okay. Man. Crazy.
Shall we start with the winners? So
the winners, let's do it.
Major ones. Okay.
Okay.
We do know our winners. Yes. Best actor, Brendan Fraser. What do you feel about
well
that?
Well deserved. I watched the movie with Bang. I haven't seen Living with Bill Nighy, but I watched the other movies with the other best actor nominees. The mm-hmm. only one who could probably have maybe won and I wouldn't have been like upset was Colin Farrell from Banshees of Inisherin. But the okay. Brendan Fraser was incredible in that movie. I talked about it on the podcast before. It's basically about this guy and he's super dangerously obese. He has a strange relationship with his daughter and he uses eating as a mm-hmm. coping mechanism. It's got more layers to it in the movie, but just the way, like, dude, I felt sick watching it because you could feel like what he was feeling. And that is the sign of a great actor portraying their character. So well-deserved, man. Brendan Fraser. And I'm a big fan of The Mummy. You ever watch The Mummy?
Yep.
Dude, The Mummy's fucking awesome. The Mummy is so fucking good. 1, 2, and 3. I'll even say 3, man. People hate 3. 3 is a fun ass movie.
It's a movie that whenever it comes out, I'm like, I'm watching it. I mean, like, there's just no way you're not.
It's a fun movie. And Michelle Yeoh was in that too.
So speaking of Michelle Yeoh, she won the best actress from Everything Everywhere All at Once, who is actually a very historic win because she is the first Asian winner for Best Actress in the Oscars for 95 years of their existence.
And only the second person of color next to Halle Berry.
Halle Berry, exactly. And then Best Supporting Actor, Ki-Hui Kwan. Did I say that correctly?
Kwan.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Ki-Hui Kwan. Yes.
And Everything, Everywhere, All at Once won Best Picture So basically, it was sweeping yung ano.
They also won Best Supporting Actress. Jamie Lee Curtis took home Best Supporting for Everything, Everywhere. But the just to rewind a little bit, for Best Actress, I thought Kate Blanchett also could have won that and I wouldn't have been upset. Mm-hmm. Like, she was that good in Tar.
Yeah.
I watched Blonde with Ana de Armas. I watched Michelle Williams in The Fablemans. I don't think they could have beat Michelle Yeoh, but Kate Blanchett, I think, maybe could have. And did you watch any of the speeches, though?
I did watch the speeches, and it is, please don't watch it when you are in the train, in the bus, anywhere in public, because you will cry.
Yeah,
you will cry.
He made me cry, man. Legit.
I know. He made me cry, too. Yeah.
Literally one of the most inspirational stories, man. For those of you who don't follow Ki-Hui Kwan's career, he was, if you ever watch Indiana Jones, the second one? I forgot which one he was, second or third. And then the Goonies. He was a child actor, but then since he was Asian, he was really not being cast in a lot of things. So he had a 25-year hiatus where he wasn't acting. And then here's his story, right? He saw the movie Crazy Rich Asians, and he was inspired because he believed that Hollywood was finally changing and being open to more Asian actors, Asian stories, Asian visions, whatever. So he actually got an agent after watching it. And the story is that I don't know if it's the producers or the directors of Everything Everywhere saw a meme of Ki-Hui Kwan, like as a kid on Facebook. And then they're like, hey, we should ask this guy to audition for our movie. So it just kind of was like a moment where it was all lined up.
It was
up,
like a serendipity. That's
serendipity,
what it is.
Indeed. And he got the movie and, you know, and now he's doing. And what was really cool is that when he was a child actor, he went under the name Jonathan Hui Kwan, I think. He didn't use his real name, his birth name. And he was so proud winning this award with his real name. He said he made his mom proud and everything. And it just makes you believe in the dream because he never gave up, man. 25 years. Can you imagine that? 25 years?
Yeah.
Of not being able to do what you love.
That's a freaking long time. Now, a lot of people would actually just give up. Even if I see a bunch of movies with Asians in it and I wanted to be an actress, I would be, knowing myself, I'd just be like, I'm never gonna make it. But for him, for him to actually think that, you know what I mean? Like, have that much passion in the craft, in his career. And about, you know, let's do this one more time. One last. Sometimes that's what it takes. You know what I mean? Though, let's do this one last time, you know?
There's a great YouTube video, I think it's from Variety. It's called Actors Roundtable. I think I've talked about this before, but there's an Actors Roundtable where they have Ki Hui Kwan, Brendan Fraser, Colin Farrell, Adam Sandler is there as well. I forgot who the other two were, but they just talk about their passion and their craft, and it's just worth a watch. It's on YouTube. It's like an hour long, man. If you want to kill an hour, go watch it. Actors Roundtable. Yeah.
Why not?
And also going to
Jamie Lee Curtis. Go ahead.
Jamie Lee Curtis. That's what I want to talk about.
She won Best Supporting Actress for Everything Everywhere All at Once. And then the director also won Best Director, Daniel Kwan.
The Daniels.
All the Daniels.
Daniel Kwan and Daniel Scheinert is his name.
Yes.
Did you think, because I don't know if you've watched all of, I know you watch Wakanda Forever, but I don't know if you, I don't think you've watched The Whale yet, right? And The Banshees?
Not yet.
People, the only kind of award were, like in terms of the acting awards, that people were a little bit torn on was Best Supporting Actress. People were saying Jamie Lee shouldn't have won, and it should have either been Carrie Condon, who I think should have won actually from Banshees of Inisherin, or Angela Bassett, or even in her own movie, the same movie, Stephanie Hsu, I don't know how to say her last name, the daughter in Everything Everywhere All at Once. Those three were actually the ones that people are saying should have won over Jamie Lee Curtis. Do you have any thoughts on that? Do you think Angela Bassett should have won?
I feel like, but why? You know what I mean? Like,
In terms of performances, I
wonder why people think that.
Yeah. Well, why do you think? Because some are saying that it was a legacy award.
But you know what? To be honest, I have no thoughts about like who should have won or whatever. But one of the headlines that I saw about the Oscars was about how Angela Bassett reacted to losing the Best Supporting Actress award.
I saw that.
And I'm like, okay, I have an issue with that being in the headlines and with that being talked about because why is this new? Why are we again talking about, you know, like it's that thing about pinning women against their women. This narrative is so old that we shouldn't even be talking about. What do you want? Diba? Parang ho, you're
she was
painting this
man.
Person
she
in
lost,
a bad light.
Once I mean?
Again,
like, I,
that's just how it is. Parang napaisip lang ako na parang. But that's how it is. It's not like she's the first one who did that ever in the whole history of the Oscars.
And she didn't make a scene.
But
she
was
just
so tired of this narrative, really.
Yeah,
she was just sad. I would have been sad.
Hell yeah, I would have been sad, man. Especially after all the, you know, like, she's a great actress, Angela Bassett. You know, she's in a lot of great movies. Obviously, you know, putting in that much time over, and she's, you know, she's like 60 years old. Doesn't she look great? She looks fucking awesome for 60 years old. Yeah. the amount of work she's done in movies over the last few decades, you know, to finally be nominated for something like that. And then people were saying like, oh yeah, she's probably going to win it and not win it. That is a disappointment, man. That hurts. That hurts a lot, dude.
It hurts. Let her be hurt. Come on, without it being such a big issue.
Yeah.
Na galit siya kay, I'm sure wala naman siya, like, hindi naman siya galit kay Jamie Lee Curtis.
True,
whatever.
True.
But it's just that, You lost. That's it.
I get that too. That's like, I saw people saying that she should have, you know, she should have just clapped or whatever. Like, I saw people in the comments like she's a sore loser and whatnot. You know, like, I get where she's coming from. I think that's why, man. I feel like the people who are commenting that have never, like, experienced disappointment on that level, man. Yeah, dude, that shit sucks. Like, because it really, well, I don't know. I've never been up for any awards, right? But imagine putting your time and dedication into something.
Yeah.
Because I had a similar experience last year where I felt like I found a project that I really loved. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they kicked me off the project, man.
Yeah.
And I thought I was doing a great job. I thought I did good enough. I thought they were happy with what I did. I got kicked off that project. That shit fucking hurt, man. And imagine Angela Bassett. She's been doing this for years, and this was her moment to finally sana be recognized on the biggest stage in movies. At least, you know, people see the Oscars as the coveted award, and to not win it, man, that shit must fucking sting.
Yeah.
So in all respect, her reaction was actually pretty okay. I would have been like,
yeah, it's normal.
I would have been like, fuck this.
Remember that scene in Friends?
Yeah, Joey
didn't win.
No, I should have won.
Hell yeah. So her reaction was pretty tame, man. Shout out to all the winners.
Yes. We actually have one more thing to talk about the Oscars, aside from the winners. We do have an awkward red carpet interaction between Ashley Graham, who's such a sweetheart, and Hugh Grant. Mm-hmm. So they had a short interview on the red carpet. And Ashley Graham, being a great host as she is, obviously when you're a host, and I feel like because we are probably coming from place na parang we do know how to host. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, we've done interviews before with celebrities.
Yeah, we've done interviews and everything. That sometimes you do have to have questions that are already in the bank. You know what I mean? Na parang you know that this is the red carpet, and you kind of just want chit chat entertainment for people who are watching in your Instagram live or TikTok live or on YouTube. That it's easy. It's easy to ask the question. It's easy to answer the question. But when she did that on the red carpet, so her questions were, what are you wearing? Who do you think will win tonight? She was met with some Hugh Grant was a little bit cold. There you go.
Cold, sarcastic. Yes. I mean, some would call it witty, like dry wit.
Yeah.
You know, Hugh Grant is known for that, right? He's known for like that is his sense of humor.
So the questions were what are you wearing, and then he would answer my suit. And then, who are you hoping that might win tonight? No one in particular. So you know what I mean? Like I feel like it's awkward, but like, so Ashley Graham actually addressed the issue, and she just said that my mama taught me to kill them with kindness, so I did. And I'm like, I feel like as a professional, that's what you would do, right? You would move on.
As Nobody much even... as I love Hugh Grant, man, like he was such a douchebag in this one. Literally, like I know he has a sense of humor, but there is something telling about, like, because if he was just joking, he probably would have laughed after and said, "Yeah, no, he's just kidding." Character. But he. At the end, you could see that he looked almost annoyed at the interview. Mm. So that alone was like very douchebaggy. And there, you know, in terms of Ashley Graham, there, I guess in terms of her questions, they, like you said, they're like, you know, you have them in the bank. She did ask him about the movie Glass Onion, which he really was only a cameo appearance. For me, that was her only like weak question. It wasn't a bad question. Yeah. But it was probably her only weak question. I don't know if that annoyed Hugh Grant, because maybe it showed him that she doesn't even know like what, because he's going to be in Dungeons and Dragons. I think he's going to have a bigger role in that. So like maybe he was expecting, you know, she doesn't even know, did any research on me, which I could see as a celebrity. If you're being interviewed, I could maybe see that annoying me.
Yeah.
If the person interviewing me doesn't even know anything about me, I could see that pissing him off. But he was already an asshole from the get-go.
But that's the thing. This isn't a press junket. It's a red carpet.
Yeah. And, you know, he has no, he's been around long enough to have the, like, just like there are questions in the bank for interviewers, there are always answers in the bank for celebrities.
Exactly.
Right? Right. So even if he was asked about how was your thing in Glass Onion, instead of saying I was only in it for 3 seconds, he could have said that, but he could have added like, yeah, I was only in it for like 3 seconds, but, you know, hanging out with Daniel Craig was awesome. Right. Seeing Batista, like being able to shoot on the island.
Maybe it wasn't.
But you know what I mean? Like he could have done something else. Because you and I have interviewed celebrities in the past, right? This is one of my worst nightmares, man. Watching that shit was it's like PTSD for someone who's never been through it. But I already know that that's exactly how I would react if I were to interview someone and they were a fucking asshole to me. That's my worst.
It was just
fear,
so weird that. It was also so weird that he agreed to the interview because we've seen celebrities say, and even their agents would say that, no, they don't want to interview. No, you can't. You know what I mean? Why would you agree? I don't know. I'm just hoping that he was just being sarcastic and he was just being British, I guess. But
being British, right?
You know what I mean? But
still,
but I feel for Ashley Graham, and thankfully she addressed it in such a kind manner.
She handled the interview so well, man.
Oh yeah.
What would you do, bro?
I would cry.
Dude, I would be like, what the fuck is going on? I would be so shell-shocked that I would probably stutter over my word. Like she kept going, man. And she kept smiling. So just kudos to her because that shit is impossible. Like I remember I had one awkward interview. It wasn't even a bad interview. They weren't they weren't rude or anything. So when season 2 of Stranger Things came out, you can find it on YouTube. So I had two interviews, right? I had an interview with the guy who plays Steve Harrington, so Joe Keery and Noah Schnapp, right? Those two guys. And that interview was super fun and super awesome and I really liked it and I think that was like one of my best interviews ever. But then I had to interview the two new characters in that season. See, Sadie Sink, who you might know from, well, she's in The Whale now, but she's also in the Taylor Swift 10-minute music video. She plays Max in Stranger Things. And then the brother, see, Dacre Montgomery. But the thing is, they weren't allowed to, because it was before season 2 came out, they weren't allowed to talk anything about the show. So I ended up asking a bunch of generic shit. And their answers were very generic as well. So it was such a boring and kind of stale interview. And even that, I was already like, fuck, man, they're not answering these questions the way that I'm hoping that they would. What the hell do I do? And it was just I remember to this day, I was like, fuck, man, I don't know how else I could have done that better. Because I was trying my best. And I felt it in this one, watching this Hugh Grant interview. Like, she was just trying to get something, you know, that she could work with, and he wasn't working with her.
Yeah.
You know?
So, I know.
Fuck, man. It was just...
But I feel like this is one of the videos that you could probably show people who want to be a presenter in the future, that this is how you handle these kinds of people.
It's a good example of how to just power on through and do the best you can with what you're given. Grabe, man. Super kudos to her, man. I never heard of her, actually, until I saw this video. So... She's fantastic at what she does.
Yeah.
Any more thoughts on the Oscars, Rika G? I mean, Pinocchio, by the way, won Best Animated. It's on Netflix, which I haven't seen.
No.
But it's on Netflix.
And you know
so
what actually? Yeah, and you know what actually got me kind of like Googling? It's the best original song, and India's kind of like celebrating, and I want to listen to it, and I will. It's called Natu Natu. I hope I'm saying that correctly.
Natu Natu.
But yeah, it's kind of making me, you know. I want to listen to it. I'm intrigued. But that's
for the
Oscars. What?
I was wondering what movie that song is. RRR, right? Okay.
RRR. Yeah, okay. So that's it for the Oscars at the Halala Show. But we do, like we said, we did talk
the
about...
The Oscars at the Halala Show. Yeah, man. Dude, we should
I know. We are moving on. So that's a whoopow for us.
Wow.
But we were talking about Flight MH370 be 70 before the podcast. And we got to Googling, we got to searching Reddit, and we did find a couple of conspiracy theories. I know you found one, and then I'm just going to summarize the one that I found, which is kind of cool. Yeah.
So those of you who don't remember, it was in 2014, right? The Malaysian Airlines flight that just fucking disappeared. And no one up until today
knows exactly.
Like, there, no one can tell us what exactly happened, right? It's on Netflix. If you want to watch the documentary, it's out on Netflix. It's I forgot what it's called. It's like The Disappearance of MH370. You'll find it. Just search for Malaysian Airlines. You'll find it.
Yeah.
But Rika found one that I thought is super interesting. Like, let's talk about the theory that you found on Reddit. Is it Reddit?
Yes. So I found this on Reddit, and it was posted by Walter White Rabbit 9 years ago. So he or she says that this is his or her own personal theory. And they did start out with saying, "Let me say that my condolences go out to the family members of the missing crew and passengers of MH370. So basically, he doesn't really want to offend anybody. This is just his personal theory. Basically, it's a very long, detailed list of why this person thought that it actually did not crash. So they believe that the plane may have landed in Australia, Indonesia, or somewhere close to where it was last determined, and that this was actually this was actually planned years and years before. Basically, one of their major theories was it landed, they painted over the plane right away to make it a different branding, different logo, and then everybody got out safely. So very much like, you know, Mission Impossible, Fast and Furious.
GTA, bro, when you go into the car paint shop.
Basically. So that was this person's theory. And it is quite plausible. I want to say that.
I don't think so, bro. I mean, like, yeah, maybe if they got all the passengers off and somehow maybe just silenced them, I could maybe see it happening.
Right.
But like the fact that no one, like, they couldn't find anybody who was on board, because, you know, in the documentary they make a big point of showing just a few people that were on the plane, like their family members, the wife of the flight attendant there, the pilot, whatever. I don't know. It's just hard. The thing that's crazy to me is not knowing where the people are. Like, because the debris and whatever of the plane, I could see that maybe being, because the ocean, you know, I hate the ocean, right? Because you can't fucking find anything in there. You can hide anything in the ocean. It's so undiscovered. Yeah. But there's no people, like any sort of contact, like they weren't able to make contact. Because if you watch the documentary, apparently some of the Chinese family members, because a lot of the passengers were Chinese, where like one person received a call from someone on the plane, apparently, like hours after it had disappeared.
Crash?
Yeah, after. Well, they didn't even know if it crashed, right? But after it had been declared missing, they got a call. And then I don't know why it frustrated me hearing the story told, because they were getting a call and then they were with another family member or something. And they're like, "What should I do?" Obviously, you fucking answer it, right?
That's
what you should do. But by the time that they're like, "All right, I'm going to answer it," the call was done. And then they tried calling back and no one answered. That to me is like the biggest mindfuck, right?
Right.
Like,
right.
How is that even possible? I don't know if that, like, if they debunked it, like, was there really a call that came in? But for me, it's like, there's like the people, like, there's no way that they could verify, like, where a body is or something, like some sort of contact could have been made if it was landed on ground, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If it crashed in the ocean, no chance. But if the theory, like, it landed maybe in Australia and they cleaned it up, there's like 200 something people on that flight. Like, one person found a way to, you know, say what's going
on. Yeah. I think though that maybe time will tell, because, you know, the ocean, it's a big place. It's a big, dark, deep place. And although there are some people who can actually reach certain parts of the ocean, they can't, you know, navigate the whole ocean, the whole like body of water on Earth, you know, in just a year. So maybe Maybe.
Yeah. Because the one for time. Me, the most plausible thing that happened is that, whatever disrupted, because it disappeared off the radar. So something fucked with the electronics, right? But is that it landed somewhere in the ocean and then people were looking in the wrong place because the ocean's so big, right?
It is. That's what I'm
saying. They started looking where the plane finally lost contact. But even if it had gone maybe an extra 20 minutes without any contact, that is so much distance and so much water that even starting in the wrong place, just 20 minutes behind, you will never find it. Yeah. That, I think, is what happened. Like, somehow it fell in the ocean, because I don't think it landed on land. But there are other theories online, some even as wild as aliens. What do you think, Rikiji? Aliens? Possible?
I mean, I'm a firm believer that aliens put the Stonehenge there. How can you put, you know?
Yeah. Dude. Yeah, or it could be like Manifest, right? What if it shows up later? Manifest.
I know. And like the time loop or the time.
Yeah.
Escape.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah,
watching the documentary, just on a final note, is that the Malaysian government, there's a lot of weird shit going on there. Mm-hmm. Kind of like here, you know? And I feel like there's a lot of cover up that I don't know, and I will, you know, I'll never accuse of like what they covered up, but I feel like there's some sort of cover up job to help the country save face. Similar to how if a Philippine airline flight were to disappear, there would be a lot of revisionism going on here.
It happens in our history.
Yeah,
it happens in the classrooms. Anyway, but yeah, that's one of the theories out there, but we don't know. But I like about this whole theory is that the person who wrote this very long theory started out with compassion and ended with saying that I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because obviously they people want to know where these people are and what happened to them so people can grieve properly. So yeah. Mm-hmm. There we go. That's it. That's random Reddit for you.
That's a random Reddit today. Yeah. Watch it on Netflix. It's a really interesting. The only thing that I've complained about before is that they could have just made it one episode, like a long one, like an hour. Why do they have to split into parts? I hate that shit.
Yeah.
It just takes too long, man. Like the don't fuck with cats. Like, come on, man. Just do it one episode.
They stretched it out. Crazy. They stretched it out too much.
They did, right. Man. And the last thing we have is we have one Let Your Fan Mail. It's a short one.
We do.
And the name or the subject is Greetings from the Land of Koalas and Roos. So,
oh my gosh,
that is.
Before I know. Before we start, can you just go on TikTok and search for koala videos? Because they're not just cuddly, they're also very aggressive. They hiss.
Oh, really?
They're like
koala.
Yeah.
Nice. I will like a video so that they start showing up on my For You page for the next 3 months.
So
it's gonna have random koala videos.
Rola says, here it is. Jola says, hello, Rika and JC. Jola here. And you are doing an awesome work with a podcast. Hey. I recently moved to the land down under and listening to a range of podcasts such as yours to entertain me for my 1 hour drive to work. Imagine Makati to Batangas trip every day. Feeling ko may kabarkada ako in a road trip. Anyway, I arrived at work and thanks for the company, guys. P.S. In the future, you have a can you have a podcast topic about moving abroad in your late 20s or early 30s, and I'd love to contribute. Hehe, sent from my iPhone.
Oh, sent from my iPhone. Hey. And I know that's an automatic thing, but can you imagine if you are physically typing sent from my iPhone?
I know. Yeah. Could be.
That would be.
Yeah, that would actually be a great topic, moving to another country in your late 20s or 30s. Basically, yeah, we would have some strong thoughts about that. Am I right, my friend?
Yeah, and it means a lot that you listen to us on your trip to work, because that's what I'd listen to when I take long drives. True. I listen to podcasts because it really helps. So it really means a lot that we're the podcast of choice for you, man. So thank you. And to all the Leche fans out there, please email us thehighlightofthashow@gmail.com. We have been reading Leche fan mail for the last two episodes. And this is a pretty long mix, I think, huh? Today?
It is. That's why we need to end it. So you guys can enjoy your day.
All right. So follow us online, Halala Show everywhere. Instagram, we have a Facebook group called The Halala Show Leche Fam. Join in on the conversation there. And once again, email us at thehalalashow@gmail.com. And Rika G, is there anything else you want to say, or are you going to extra song?
Yeah, please subscribe to our new YouTube channel. It's called Our Climb. Yes. So if you're interested in bouldering, climbing, or just basically you want to bullshit me, you want to hate on me, that is the avenue to go to on YouTube. Thank you very much.
Nice, nice. All right, that's it. We'll be back next week. And extra song. I love the show.
Bye.
Bye, baby.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.